I'll give you a second to turn in your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. I was watching TV last night, like the RFD channel or something. Every now and then we watch it. It's the other channel I watched didn't have my singing stuff on there. I like Ray Stevens was on there and looking older, of course. And yeah, he's pretty funny. He was talking about how when he grew up, you know, they grew up way out in the sticks and they didn't have a lot of modern things. And they finally got a house that had an indoor bathroom in it, you know. And the first time his wife, his mother went in the bathroom and she said something. I forgot how he referenced it, but it had to do with the washing machine not working too good. Said she threw all the clothes in that thing and pulled the chain and not a whole lot happened. So she was talking about the commode. And then he said it wasn't long later that his mom brought a toilet brush. And he said after a couple of weeks, him and his dad just went back to paper. Oh, man, I thought that was funny right there. But all right, Colossians chapter 1 in verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." I know your text up there probably stopped at verse 10, but I probably needed to add that to it as well. We see here is the start of a prayer, and I've been doing a series about praying. And the topic tonight is actually praying for others, praying for others. And here we see the Apostle Paul in a prayer that he starts out with for the Colossians. I actually said a few other things that went along with that prayer there. That wasn't the end of it. But, you know, I want to talk to you tonight about praying for others, particularly other believers. I mean, we pray for others that are lost. We pray for others, you know, and that we know. But this is particularly dealing with other believers, praying for other believers. You know, and I've mentioned over and over again several times about how that we have a tendency to pray for others, other believers, or even other people, and lean heavily towards the physical side of things. It seems like the world we're living in, I don't know if it's because we're in a small community. Sherry and I had discussed this because we had lived in Northern Virginia for a while, and it didn't seem like as many people as was up there that we knew that many people that was, you know, had sicknesses and things and surgeries, and maybe because you get older too and the people you know are older, maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure, but we, you know, and it's good to pray for people with those things, but, you know, it's got to be a good balance. And when you get right down to it, it probably ought to lean towards the spiritual side of things more than the physical, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. You know, we have greater needs than our physical needs. You know, we really do. You know, we think about the powerlessness of the church in the world that we live in today. Our witness, our testimony, you know, in the testimony of our prayerlessness, you know, it really has to do with spiritual needs, what we need in a spiritual way. You know, we look at the church and, man, I don't know what you do to get people to come back on Sunday night. I don't know what you do to get them to come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. You know, I guess it's got to be a major crisis in their life. Maybe you can get them down here for that. But, you know, it's just there's so much coldness, deadness, indifference, ho-humness, all those things that we've talked about. And there's only one thing, there's only one cure for that. And that is really a praying church. I mean, people that are really praying, mentioning people by name and you know, laying some people out there before the Lord to let, you know, let God deal with them. And I think that's, you know, where we fail a lot of times. Charles Spurgeon, and if you don't know about Charles Spurgeon, he was called the Prince of Preachers, preached in England before our time. But his church, listen, 20,000 people in attendance at his church service. 20,000 people inside the church. There would have been more, but the place wouldn't hold any more. People used to get there real early to make sure they could get in, because if you got there, listen, you couldn't do the Baptist thing and drag in there 5 minutes late. Because if you did, you weren't going to get in. People got there early. 20,000 people. They used to print his sermons in the New York newspaper in America. He was preaching in England. They printed his sermons every week in the paper in America. Somebody asked him, you know, what was the secret of his ministry? You know what he said? He said, people pray for me. People pray for me. I mean, that's the power, really, of prayer. And I'll talk about that as far as praying for you, preacher, a little bit later. Now, praying for physical needs. Listen, man, listen, they can be met in prayer as well. And you know, we pray about that. We know that. I think we have to believe that. But, you know, any type of prayer, I don't care if it's physical or spiritual needs. You know, how do we pray? You know, the Bible teaches us that we got to pray in the Spirit. The Bible teaches that we have to pray fervently. The Bible teaches that we have to pray believing. I mean, those are and some of those things I think we're lacking in. I don't know that we pray in the Spirit. I don't know if the Bible even talks about pray without ceasing. And we'll see an example of that in a minute. Praying fervently, praying believing. So not, I mean, we might be weak in all those areas, really, when we think about it, because praying is just more than flapping your lips and a bunch of words coming out. You know, the heart's got to be involved. The mind's got to be involved in that. You know, in Acts chapter 12, there's a story there. You remember where Peter's in prison. And the Bible says in verse 5, it said, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, that means that was some pretty fervent prayer. Now, listen, it was a treacherous time. And the number one thing, James had already been killed by Herod, and now Peter's locked up. So if the government was locking up, if they have one of our church members had already been killed by the powers that be, and now there was another one locked up, one of the leadership of the church, Peter was, locked up, and there was, you know, there was a good chance that he was going to be killed as well. I mean, that might increase the fervency of our prayer life. And it did, man. I'll tell you what, this is what Peter needed more than anything. He didn't need a better jail. He didn't need a better program. He didn't need better food. You know, what he needed was a praying church. That's what he needed above all things. And like I said, they knew that at any minute Herod could kill him, put him to death if James had already been killed. They didn't organize a protest. They didn't get a petition together to turn over to the political leaders at the time. They didn't try to bribe the guards. They did the one thing that nobody could stop them from doing, and the one thing that was probably going to work was they got down and said that they prayed without ceasing. I imagine this was as I know it was late at night when Peter got let out, so it wasn't just one of them little one-hour prayer meetings, 15-minute prayer meeting, five-minute. I mean, this was an all-night prayer was going. It says the church. That doesn't mean just one or two people in the church. The whole church was in a serious prayer meeting about this, and you know the story. Buddy, an angel came and touched old Peter on the arm, and he thought he was dreaming. Then they went out, and the gates just kind of opened up as they went out the way, and just let him out of there. And he came and knocked on the door at the house, and the girl came and said, you know, he said, it's Peter out here. And she was so excited, she ran back, didn't even open the door. Told everybody that Peter was out there, and they said, you're mad. You're crazy. That's what they were asking. So maybe they had a little trouble with the praying on the believing side of things. You know, that's what we've been praying about. Somebody should have said, of course he's out there. That's what we were asking for. And he came on in. So we know that God moves. And I guess you could look at that in a physical way, in a physical sense, that it was something that they prayed about. You know, you look in the book of Acts and you see the church and what all went on there. Man, every time I read that, when I talks about a man, they had all things in common. Buddy, they was in fellowship breaking bread. It said that they prayed. They praised God. That people were getting saved, man. It had to do with the power of prayer. You know, one of the things you notice about the early church, and because it was a praying church, one thing we notice about that sin wasn't tolerated in the church. Sin wasn't tolerated in the church. Ananias and Sapphira come to mind. Man, I tell you, somebody told me one time, oh God, he doesn't afflict his people and this and that and all that. He killed two people because they lied to the church in the church. They lied about it. He killed them, didn't he? I mean, who killed them? Who killed them? God killed them, right? I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, man, God checked it out. You know, their evangelism was effective, man. 3,000 people got saved in a day. 3,000 people. Remember on the day of Pentecost, 120 is all they had. Church about the size of ours on a good Sunday morning. That's all they had. But 3,000 people got saved. Do you think it's just because they had some dynamic preacher? Boy, I'd like to have a copy of the outline of the message that he preached. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't it. It was because the people were praying, man. They were in prayer, in some serious prayer. Talked about warfare praying last week, about how, you know, praying is so hard. It is hard. I don't know about you. You know what the hardest thing about praying for me is? Is keeping my mind on track. Man, I can get distracted in a heartbeat. Man, there could be an ant with the hiccups, and I'd probably hear it while I'm in prayer. You know, it would distract me to no end where I can't. And my mind wanders off. That's why I told all the people I've been talking to, pray out loud. I don't care if you're by yourself. Pray out loud. Keeps you talking. Keep yourself focused. And that it's hard, man. But, you know, and it's hard to pray and pray and pray. And you know, you kind of got to learn how to do that. To pray about some things, but 3,000, it was effective. Man, evangelism got to be effective. Persecution didn't stop the early church. You know, I think the church, if you ever look, if you study it, the church grew like mad under persecution. Grew like mad. You know what? A little persecution might go a long way towards increasing. You know why I think persecution caused the church to increase? Because it got people to pray. Huh? If you thought tonight that you could get locked up and that your life could be in jeopardy, and there are places in the world that this could happen. You know, we were fortunate. We can come strolling in whenever we feel like it, and nobody's going to hassle us. There's places in the world, buddy, if we had a meeting like this, all these cars were out there, the cops would be down here wanting to know what was going on. They found out what was going on, they'd be locking us up. If we had some persecution, buddy, where you were under threat of arrest, under threat of losing your life, guess what would improve? Your prayer life. It would improve, huh? Attendance would probably be down. No, it might not be. It might not be, buddy, because it's always grown under persecution, man. I mean, you know what? God could use that to increase some things. Listen, prejudices were destroyed in the early church. Man, old Philip went down there and he was out in the desert. Next thing you know, he's witnessing to an Ethiopian eunuch. Guy wasn't even a Jew. Biggest racial issue ever in the history of the world wasn't black and white people in the 60s in America. It was Jews and Gentiles in Jesus' day. Man, if a Jew touched a Gentile, he had to go wait 7 days and then wash himself so many times before he could go worship God. So that's what they thought. They had to do that. They wouldn't even go. The Samaritans were half Jews, half Gentiles. They wouldn't even go into Samaria. They walked everywhere they went. They were so prejudiced that if you could save 200 miles by going through Samaria, they wouldn't do it. They would walk 600 miles out of the way not to even go in the country whether they was going to see a Samaritan or not. It was a racial deal. But guess what happened? When the church got together, guess what? Jews, Gentiles. It didn't make no difference. Everybody got together because they prayed. Peter was sent to missions began, and it also dealt with a racial issue. What happened? Peter went to Cornelius' house. He was a Gentile. He had a dream. He said, man, I'm not going to do anything with that which is unclean. And he had that dream about the sheet and all that. And then Jesus said, you know, don't call unclean. God said to him, don't call unclean what I've said clean. So Peter said, hey, gospel's going to the Gentiles. And he went in there and he witnessed to Cornelius. Why? Because the church was praying. See, what happens when you start praying, you start listening to God. When you start listening to God, you're going to find out about all the errors that you've been making in your life. Like I've said, this thought's been on my mind, I've been preaching a series on Sunday morning about worship because I know that we don't do it right. I know that we haven't done it right for years. And I'm talking about the church as a whole, not just Valley View Baptist Church. You know why? Because we're so set and everything's in just so... You know, we got to do it a certain way. Got people right now. Well, you know, preacher man, I just got to have the old traditional, you know, hymns that were written in 1855. And I said, look, man, do you think God quit calling people to write songs in 1855 or is he still doing that today? I mean, man, it's contemporary. Listen, everything was contemporary at one time. Huh? The Amazing Grace was contemporary. One of the favorite songs of the church today, right? But you know when it first came out? The churches wouldn't sing it because it said, such a worm as I, because of that line right there. People would not sing that song in churches because it said, it talks about a wretch and a worm, and they wouldn't do it. Now look at it. You know, it was a contemporary song. Listen, man, God is progressive in that sense. I mean, the Word of God's not going to change, but just because, well, we've always done it that way, you keep praying. Because I don't even see a real resemblance of the church today and the one in the book of Acts. I don't see it. Huh? So we're not where we're supposed to be. The more you pray, you find out, you know what? We're not always doing everything the way you'll start finding out. I'm not, you know, my attitude hasn't been right. You know what? I got all these things in my mind that's not right. You know, we find that out when you pray. And that's what the early church was doing. They prayed out and they found out, you know what? All these prejudices we had, we've been wrong. We've been wrong about it. So what happened? Philip goes to the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, Gentile. Goes to his house, preaches to him. Man, the church was made up. Listen, when you think about the church, Peter would have died that night if they hadn't prayed for him. That's how powerful it was right there. Prayer helps us see things from God's perspective. That's it. Prayer helps us see things from God's perspective. And like it's helping me see that, listen, man, there can be a whole lot more joy in worshiping God. We got to stick with the scriptures. We can't do away with that. This is the truth right here. And I'll stick to that till the day I'm die. But that don't mean I always got to sing two songs, take up an offering, sing one more song, and then we're going to preach. That don't mean we got to do it in that order, right? I mean, we can do things a little bit different in the way we do stuff and understand some things about God. And prayer helps us with that. And I'll show you a couple other things as we go along there. Prayer helps us see things from God's perspective. You know, prayer has to be qualified. The Bible tells us, I got all the verses for this, won't give them to you, but the Bible tells us to ask. And then the Bible says, ask in the will of God. And the Bible says, ask in the name of Christ. And the Bible says, ask in faith. And then the Bible says, ask as a righteous man. And the Bible says, ask for definite things. You know what they say? That generalities in prayer is a disguise for unbelief. Generalities in prayer is a disguise for unbelief. See, I could say, well, Lord, just help us all. Help us all with what? You know, that's like when I said before, we say, well, I'm praying for Brian. Praying about what? Well, I just wish he'd get to be better looking than he is. No, I mean, what are you going to, you know, that's a generality prayer, right? Just pray for Brian. You know what his needs are? No, be specific, man. Don't, you know, we can be very specific about what we pray about, definite things, and then also pray with a grateful heart. The Bible tells us all those things about prayer. Now, I got a couple prayers. One of them I've already read. This is part of Paul's prayer for the Colossians right there. And I'm going to look at one in Ephesians in a few minutes. But I just want to look at these prayers. And I want you to know something. You know, we talk about doctrinal studies or doctrinal. Doctrine is just teaching. That's what doctrine is. But this isn't. When you look at what Paul wrote, we can study it or use it. But it's not really part of a doctrinal study. It's just a letter from Paul to this church. It's a letter from his heart to them. This is what he wanted to talk to them about. So Paul prayed about, he prayed for this. Look, for spiritual growth, for godly wisdom, for understanding, and he prayed for unity. So I read to you, I'll read it to you. Now think about this. This is a prayer. I'll read it to you again. I read it at the start. Colossians 1, verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, here it is. Remember I said pray specific. To desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you something. Does this sound like a prayer meeting that we have on Wednesday night? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, and then he went, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he just said a few other things about what the Lord had done right there. Here's Paul's prayer right there. Did you notice there's anything missing in them prayers as it compares to our prayer life? He didn't mention anybody sick, anybody having a surgery, anybody that passed away. And I'm sure at that church that there was probably somebody sick. They didn't have as good a health as we got today. In those days, people, you know, didn't live as long as they didn't have as good as health. Now, is that saying that Paul's saying it's wrong to pray? No, I'm just saying what was on Paul's heart, what was on Paul's mind, what was the greater need? What was the greater need? Didn't mention anything. I'm sure there were people with physical needs there. But right now, in this prayer, his focus was on spiritual needs, spiritual needs. And that's where I think we really need. We're so out of balance in that right there. Things that last for eternity, for time and eternity. Listen, if a believer doesn't get well, and Lord knows if your loved one's sick, I know you want them to get well, but if a believer doesn't get well and they die, they're going to heaven. They're going to heaven. But I tell you what, if they don't have strength and they don't have power and we haven't been praying for one another and one of us falls, we're going to take some people down with us. And I'm not talking about falling into hell. You're not going to lose your salvation. But there may be people out there that don't get saved because of your testimony. Because of your testimony. That's right. So, see, we need to pray about that. Those are things that we need to pray about. He agonized. Over in Colossians 2, it talks about that he agonized in prayer. We've talked about that word before. Agonized, it's like a wrestling term, like when you get wrestling and every muscle strained. And I'll tell you what, warfare and how hard it is to pray. But not physically, but, you know, prayer is some tough thing. Sometimes you dread really going to prayer because you know it's going to be kind of hard. And, you know, he prayed for every member, that they would be complete in Christ. These are the kind of things that we really need to pray for each other about. Man, the physical ought to be secondary, not the primary, and we ought to start praying, man, that we would grow in knowledge and grow in wisdom, grow in strength. Those are all the things that he mentioned in that verse already. And that we would be complete in Christ. These are the things that every single one of us needs those things. A lot of times we limit our praying also to the willing remnant. Somebody said the willing remnant, the workers or the faithful people. But listen, everybody needs prayers, right? We need to spend time in prayer for the casualties. Because, man, it's like nonstop, man. I was talking to somebody today, about somebody else, and they just didn't feel like... Listen, there's casualties all the time. It's up and down, man. You may be on fire for God now. You're all fired up, but somebody else is struggling just with the basics, you know. They need to be prayed about that. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. You need to pray about that because there's going to become a time you may get like that, and we need to pray for each other. I don't think we got to wait till they get that way to start praying for them, you know. I need your prayers now. I don't need to wait till I just feel like quitting before you start praying for me. Too late if it's too late for that. And here's the thing about this. As far as we can tell by studying the Word of God, Paul never visited the church at Colossae. He never visited that church. He just mentioned hearing of their faith. But you know what? He was so excited about it. He said, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for these people right there because he knew that was advancing the kingdom of God. And no ministry rises above the level of the praying done for it. No ministry rises above that level. And I can see so many problems over the years. I said last week, a couple weeks ago, I was so stupid, man, I started pastoring. Not that I'm a lot smarter, but I got this part figured out. Where, I just didn't do enough praying for a lot of things that were going on at the church. You know, a lot of what needed to go on, man, the things that we needed to really just can look back now and say, man, alive, here, I wasn't praying. And so the ministry can't rise above that level of our praying, man. I was thinking along the basic things like we think about now, not thinking about spiritual things. We need to pray about that. Do you know that they said there's 500,000 believers being killed every year just because of their faith? 500,000 believers. Now we're on the physical side of things a little bit, but that's 1,370 a day, 57 people an hour, which is almost one person every minute is somewhere in the world is being killed because they profess faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sure they would appreciate our prayers, and we may be on that list one day. But here, listen, that sounds like gloom and doom, right? Listen to this. In India, 15,000 coming to Christ every week. 15,000 people coming to Christ every week. Guess what? They need our prayers. Not because they may be killed, but also they need to be strong. They need to grow in grace. They need to, they need those kind of prayers right there. In Latin America, the church is growing three times faster than the population. In Latin America, population is growing pretty fast in Latin America. The conversion of Muslims to Christ in the last 10 years has been greater than in the last 1,000 years. Man, there's a lot of people that need some prayers right there. Man, listen, we think about that. We think about Paul's prayer focus, growth. He's talking about personal growth, how they grow in Christ. Wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are 200 different. Knowledge is gaining information. Wisdom is knowing how to apply that information. That's a different thing. He prayed for wisdom, understanding. He prayed for unity. He prayed for unity because one of Satan's tools in a growing church is he causes division and he wants to split. You know, he causes people to be divided, causes angry, you know, be anger, whatever that is. And so we think about it. What do we really need most? Man, you know, because we gauge our physical things, man, you know, because that's when you walk around. This is the thing I found out about getting older. I start laughing sometimes when I hear the conversations that we have with people. You know what people talk about a lot? Their health, man. Oh, man, my lumbar. Well, you ain't seen nothing. My sciatica. And I'm telling you, I had that surgery. Did you hear about so-and-so? She was in the hospital. And, you know, man, that's all they yacked about. I was telling you about them ladies at the gas station. I went in, got my gas. I came out. I went back. They done covered every organ they had. And they was like trying to outdo each other. But you ought to see the scar I got hiking up, you know. And that's what you talk about. And, you know, but we really have our finger on our physical body, don't we? I mean, we know, you know, you wake up, your head gets hurting, you know it, right? I mean, you wake up in the morning, man, you got the old person shuffle going to the bathroom, you know it, huh? I'm going to tell you, I strained my inner thigh right there, man, working on a little rock wall at my house. I'm still limping around because of that. I know it, man. When I get out there and get on that hill, my back sometimes gets to hurting. I know about it. You look in the mirror, you see the hair missing or turning gray or both. You know, you feel old, you look old, you got the wrinkles, everything. We see all that. But you know what we got to do when you pray for wisdom is you find out, you know, you start asking God, God starts speaking to us on the inside about our spiritual thing. Do you think our spiritual health is any better than our physical health? I got news for you. It's probably worse. You know, you get diseases and you got things that aren't working right on your physical body. And you got all these other issues going on in your physical body. Guess what? I got bad news. Your spiritual body's worse than your physical body is. And you're thinking, good night. It is. It's probably worse. A lot of times, though, see, we're not as attuned to that going south as we are the body that we have and have to get up and move around in. But, you know, like, and part of it has to do with this. I said, you know, if we really searched ourselves, and I talked about it this morning, if we searched ourselves and be honest with ourselves, we know when we're playing. You know, we know when we're just playing the game. We know when we're faking. We know when we're not as excited about the Lord as we'd like to intend to pretend to everybody. We're singing those praise songs, buddy. You know when somebody feels like singing them and they're just moving their mouth, going along with it. You know when we're excited about things. You know way down inside, but what it is, we lie to ourselves. And we say, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. No, it's bad. It's bad. So we need to pray about that. So think about it. Just always think about it. My physical body is probably worse than my spiritual body. Or my spiritual body is probably worse than my physical body. Think about that. Man, we need to pray about it. So, we you know, that's where we have to get to. Prayer, you know, for growth, wisdom, understanding, you know, those type things right there. I was telling the church on Wednesday night or one of the nights, whenever it was, about how you know, doing things just a little bit differently, you know, not breaking out of the mold that we always get in. You know how we do Wednesday night prayer meeting now? We say, okay, you know, who's got a prayer request? And you know what we're going to hear? We're going to hear about all the things that we got right there. And I said, well, let's, you know, why don't we just do it differently? And I said, maybe, did I say we're going to do praise this week? Is that what I said? So y'all are trying to find something to praise about all week. You're sweating it now because you don't know what to do, right? But I said, when we break up in our little groups, you can pray for the people that's sick and need prayers. You know, Sherry's sister, she's got something going on there, going to have a little procedure done. She'd appreciate your prayers, no doubt about it. We can do that when we get up in our groups. But I said, on a Wednesday night, instead of having a kidney to organ recital business like we always do, this week, why don't we just say, listen, you know, we got something to praise God about this week. Let's do that. I got some other ideas I wrote down about that. You know, what about one night all we pray about or mention for prayer is lost loved ones? You know, I pray with different people. I pray with people all the time. They got kids. Their children are lost, but they do not mention them in prayer. Your children are lost on their way to hell, a burning eternal hell, and you don't mention them for prayer? Come on. Worrying about a hangnail and a tooth going south or whatever the problem is and your kids are going to hell And you're not mentioning them, and you're mentioning your big toe? Satan has got us, man. He's got us duped. I mean, we don't even know what's going on. Huh? Satan's got us. Satan's laughing. He is laughing his head off about that. Not even praying for our kids, our grandkids, whatever it is that needs prayer to be lost. How about so one night maybe we do that? How about one night we just pray for backslidden church members? I mean, don't get general. Don't say, well, you know, we're going to pray for all them people that's done fell out or indifferent and cold and stagnant and, you know, dead or in a doornail. No, start mentioning them by name, you know, not to make them look bad. Just lift them up to God. Lift them up to God. How about a night like that? How about one night, you know, we can get selfish in a way. How about one night we just say, you know, our prayer request is going to be our own spiritual needs. See, you got to be honest. You know, confession is part of. Amen. So you got to say, this is what my spiritual needs are. And tell it. This is what my needs are. How about we have a prayer meeting like that? Hang on to your hat. That's what we'll probably do something. Why do we just, you know, let's forget about the. And then when you pray, you can pray for people who got physical needs too. Nothing wrong with that. When you think about, I've said this over and over again, Wednesday night prayer meeting's not a great attended meeting. I don't care what church you go to, where it is. You know, Sherry and I, when we got married in a church that was pretty big, it was down there in Arlington Assembly. That's where we got married. The other week when we were going to Williamsburg, we pulled out on the interstate out here, and I saw a church van up ahead of us. So, boom, I zoomed on up there. Arlington Assembly of God. There it was, a church we got married in. There's a van right there in front of me. Went by, look at all them hoodlums in there. we don't know anybody that goes there now. But it was a big church. I mean, let's say Sunday morning, easy 500 people. You know where they had Wednesday night prayer meeting at in that church? In one of a room about the size of one of our little Sunday school rooms upstairs. Because that's all the people that would come out. That's it. I mean, so it's no different. It's everywhere. The church as a whole. The least attended meeting. Like I say every time, because somebody's going to say, well, you know, I can pray just anywhere. Yeah, you can. You can, but I don't know that you're praying for me. And you don't know that I'm praying for you. But when we get together, I do. You know, we know those things. Corporate prayer is good. You know, I said about Brother Steele on the radio down in Roanoke, Freedom Baptist Church. I listen to him preaching a lot of times, and he always starts off real slow and gets through his text, and then he says to his congregation, he says, I need your prayers. Man, listen, I need your prayers. Man, you know, maybe more than you think. I mean, maybe more, because see, here's what happens. The more you're trying to do for God or the more you're doing for God, the more Satan attacks that. Man, you know what to try to think about? Try to think about getting ready to preach on Sunday morning. Your whole outline. I got to be able to talk to you guys for at least a half hour, right? And then I got to get ready to preach on Sunday night, another half hour. And then I got to study what we're going to do on Wednesday night Bible study. And I get my little Sunday school, which I got a book, and that's not the biggest headache in all the world to go through the Sunday school book. But you got to get all those things together, right? Well, somebody asked me the other day, Sherry's mom's husband, Billy, says, man, where do you get your topics to preach on? Yeah, that's the big question. I said, well, from God, you know, there's a general one. I mean, you know, God kind of leads you, directs you. You know, I heard that thing this morning, I used this morning for the outline about the percentages of, you know, a decision that you might make. I said, man, that's good. I can kind of use that, fit that in. I thought that was good. It really spoke to me about something. But man, what happens is Satan just, man, he muddles up your mind. Amen. It's nonstop. You know, it's a spiritual battle there to get going. There's sometimes, listen, I've sat there, man, I got nothing. I have nothing. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just going to flick around, close my eyes. All right, let's see. You know, you almost feel like that. I mean, what, you know, it's just like, you know, you just don't have nothing. It's a battle, man. And I'll tell Sherry, I said, look, you got to pray because I can't. I might want to work on something on Thursday morning. I can't. I don't have anything. And I have to just start praying and praying and try to do it, you know, it's not just cut and dry. And so you got to pray, you know, pray for you, you know, preach and listen. Somebody said, one preacher said, well, you know, an evangelist went to a church and he was preaching and one of the members like to complain to the visiting preachers about their preacher. That's normal. And they said, well, you know, preacher so-and-so, boy, I just really don't like his preaching. I don't like it like yours. And the evangelist told him, said, well, let me ask you something. Are you praying for him? Huh? If you don't like my preaching, pray. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it won't. If you don't like it, pray. I mean, that's all you can do, right? You need to pray about that. Knowledge and wisdom, a couple things that Paul, and that was, if you notice, if you ever read a lot of Paul's prayers, the topics of them have to do with knowledge and wisdom a lot. You know, one of the problems today, people, I find this, they're biblically illiterate. Biblically illiterate. It's not because they don't have Bibles, and it's not, but it has to do with, but it's because they don't read their Bibles, or then they don't think. You got to think. You read the text and think. You know, and we've settled for shallow Christianity. There's certain things that you can't get into a deep conversation because they don't know. They don't know and maybe been saved a very long time. And so, you know, praying for knowledge and praying for wisdom, how to apply the knowledge. And, you know, if prayer and walking with God are not important to us, you know, they're not going to be important to the next generation. And I've told those men, I've talked to men, I said, listen, man, you don't want to die and your kids never heard you pray. You don't want to go out of here and depart this world and your kids didn't see you reading your Bible, studying your Bible, praying with your kids at the meal, praying with your kids before they go to bed. You don't want that. I mean, you know, you just don't want that to happen. You want to be able to remember, man. Your kids want to be able to remember. I remember my daddy praying for me. I remember my dad praying and you know, reading his Bible, and they need to, I'm not saying go do it just so they see it, but I mean, they need to see that. They need to see that in their life. If it's not important to us, you can't expect your kids. And listen, I've seen it over the years now. I've been pastoring, it'll be 20 years. Coming up on 20 years I've been a pastor, and I've been a part of a church longer than that. And I've seen families where, I'm going to tell you what, God was not in the first place in their life. He was in there, but he wasn't in first place in their life. Everything and everybody took priority over coming to church. Everything and took priority over praying and reading the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what, and they're doing all this stuff with their kids, and their kids got older and moved away. And then the next thing you know, mom and dad decide to get faithful in church now because they ain't got nothing else to do. So they show up at church all the time. And you know what they say? Well, I just wish I'd get my kids in here. And they really need to get them grandkids in church and everything. Well, guess what? It wasn't a priority in your life the whole time you were raising your kids. And now all of a sudden you want it to be a priority. They didn't see it in your life. Huh? It's like the old parents that sit around with a cigarette hanging out at her yap telling her kids they shouldn't smoke. That's not very effective, you know. And so it's the same thing there. It's got to be a priority in your life, or it's not going to be a priority to the and important to the next generation. Now the second thing, we'll see another prayer of Paul's. And it's right back in Ephesians. All you got to do is just back up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, and down there in verse 15, just back up, back to the left. Here was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom," there it is, "and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." He went on to say a few other things right there. Here's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Alexander McLaren said, "A man's prayer for others are very, or a man's prayers for others are a very fair thermometer of his own religious condition. What he asks for them will largely indicate what he thinks best for himself, and how he asks it will show the firmness of his own faith and the fervor of his own feeling." See, so our prayers for others kind of indicate. What he's saying there is kind of indicate what's important, what we think's important in our life. And if we were in their shoes, we would think this is the most important thing. Well, you know, when you look at what Paul's prayer was, once again, the first thing, he wanted them to have some understanding. Look, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." He talked about the wisdom of revelation and the knowledge of him in verse 17. He wanted to understand them to understand the blessings that they have in Jesus Christ. You know, this is something that you learn. This is something that you kind of learn as you go along. So many, you first get saved, what do you think? What do you think? Well, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, there's a blessing, and I'm going to heaven, that's a blessing. But listen, there's a whole lot more than just going to heaven and not going to hell. There's a lot of blessings in this life right now that Jesus Christ has for us, and we have to understand that. The giving of the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession. What a blessing that is to have the Holy Spirit of God living in our heart. Man, the things that the fact that we can pray. That we can pray about our kids. Man, how about that? We can pray, and God hears our prayer. Listen, they needed to understand that. We need to understand it. They needed to rejoice and realize their privileged position. Children of the King, heirs of the King. All those things, when you think about it. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Listen, we have that now, right now. We're not going to get them. We got them now. And we may not understand them. We may not use them, but we have them. So we need to pray for others that they will understand who they are, other believers, who they are and what they have in Jesus Christ, particularly new believers. You know, we need to pray for believers who are living below the privileges that they have. You know, living in defeat. People live in defeat. So many Christians are always defeated, down in the dumps. It's you know, I know we all get down in the dumps. Sometimes I get down, I don't even know why. And upbeat thoughts. I mean, I usually don't get down, you know, like just I'm just depressed. But I'm telling you, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or what the deal is. But sometimes, listen, there's some melancholy time, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I know that happens to us sometimes. We feel that way. So we need prayer in that area right there. But listen, we don't have to be walking around in the dumps all the time. And in a way, it's kind of aggravating to see a Christian that's always defeated, always depressed, always blue. They don't understand what they have in Jesus Christ. I can tell you that right now if you're always feeling that way. You know, unless it's some kind of physical reason that you feel that way. So we need to pray about that. Second thing, he prayed that they might have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what I want you to see. We have power. This is what Paul, we have power. We can have knowledge. We can have blessings. We need to know those things. We need to pray that others might know God intimately. Here's a great prayer request right there for Wednesday night. Grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, secular philosophy teaches us to know ourselves, but Scriptures teaches us to know God. That's what we need to know. And then the third thing, Paul prayed that there were that these unnamed others, we don't have any names of them, might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe. And brother, that's a mouthful of a prayer right there. You know the inheritance. You know what our inheritance is? The Israelites, they got land. Their inheritance was the promised land. Our inheritance is Jesus Christ, God himself. That's what we have. God in us. You cannot wrap your head around that without doing a lot of thinking. And then you never fully understand all that. God in us. That's what we have. That is that God Almighty dwells in the believer. Man, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know what? You know how much power you have when God dwelling in you? You just got to understand it. You got to understand. That's what Paul was praying about. We need to pray about it. We might even need to pray for ourselves to understand it, you know, a little bit more than what we do. You know, listen, streets of gold and all that, gates of pearl, that's great. But if Jesus Christ isn't there, it's not going to be worth anything. Amen. If he's not there. And here's another thing, an investment. When Paul prayed for the Ephesian church there, he invested in them. Now, Paul, this is a church that he did go to. When he was there with them, he invested in them by teaching, but now he invests in them by praying for them. When we pray for each other, that we're putting an investment in other people's lives. We're putting an investment in God's church, you know, in the kingdom of God, the expansion of that. We're investing in that. He prayed for others to be transformed in mind and conformed to the image of Christ. That's a great prayer right there. Think about these things when we have our prayer meeting. Most believers are not aware of the power available to them through the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we pray wrong there. We don't have to pray that God will give anybody power. They already have it. If they're saved, they've already got the power. They just got to pray that they understand it. It's like, you know, having... It always kills me, man, the people that buy Corvettes and then they drive down the interstate 10 miles below the speed limit. Why you buy that thing, man, with all that power if you're not even going to go to speed limit? I mean, a Volvo station wagon will do that, right, Lester, huh? I mean, huh? I mean, man, listen, They don't know what kind of power they got. I want to find out. Push on the gas. Boom. See what it'll do, you know? Listen, with the power we have in God. How much do you know? Push on the gas. Huh? Push, that'd be a good message right there, right? Push on the gas. Find out about the power that you have. You just need to understand, live in the power that we already have. We understand that. Last little thing I'll say in closing, I'm done. You know, we can look at the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. That'll help you concentrate right there. Amen. Read and study. There's a lot more prayers in the Bible. Study them. Study those prayers and see what the saints of God, the apostles,